Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Just a one way in. You can't become stagnant. He desired that you would flow. It's supposed to be a continuous flow. It's not meant to go in and sit there and nothing ever happen. It's meant to flow in. As He pours in, it pours out. And in different ways, it pours out in the sense of things that don't need to be there start to come out. And it pours out in the sense of as you grow, you shine so bright that there's nothing that can dim you. You are meant to continue to grow. He has more and more and more. There's no length of time that you have been, that you've been saved that can just give it to you, give it all to you. The Bible talks about secrets, that there are secrets of the kingdom. And it's meant for you to find them. It really is. But the key is the Holy Spirit. Because as you read that Bible and you go after Him and you allow the Holy Spirit to move, it creates revelation within your life. Where things that you didn't see before, you didn't understand before, now are clear as day. It's really awesome because I don't know, have you ever talked to somebody? Have you ever been telling them about something you are so excited about? Because God showed me this. And as you're telling them, they're looking at you like, oh, okay, yeah, that's good. And in you, it's like, no, this is amazing. This is so great. And I feel like you're not getting it because you're not as excited as I am. But it's because that revelation hasn't hit them the same way it's hit you yet. That's the amazing thing about having a relationship with God, is it's not dependent on just one single pastor. It's not dependent on just being inside of a church building. It's not dependent on other people. It's dependent on you and Him. How much you build your relationship, how much you go after Him, how much more you want in your life, how much more you're gonna press in, because I want more today, because I want a little more of what you've got for me, because I'm excited, because I'm hungry, because I'm thirsty, because I want to be on fire. It's all you. It's all you. He's there. He's waiting. He's placed it all right there for you. But it's you who has to press in. Whoo. Man, when we start to look at it from this perspective of, it's not that we should be here. Okay, God, I'm just going to stay here right now. And I guess when I hear something, I hear something. No, keep pressing in. Keep going after Him. Say, God, I want to hear something. I want more of you. And if I feel like I'm not hearing it now, I'm going to keep pressing in because I know that you promised me things and I know that you're going to give them to me. Whew. Man, there is nothing that you can't have. He came to this earth. It says He became flesh. That we might know who we are in Him. You know, He came here and He gave us a perfect example of all the things we're capable of. This flesh doesn't hold us back. We're meant for more. You're meant for more. If you feel like you've hit your peak, no, you haven't. Because as long as you're still here, He still has more. He'll still continue to pour new things. He'll still continue to pour out and show you things that you never knew before. He'll still continue to give you more dreams. He'll still continue to give you a vision for the things that He has in your life. If you just press in. That's all you got to do is press in. Amen. Let's not get used to just standing still. Let's not get comfortable. Let's not think that we've got everything we need. No, we gotta stay hungry. We gotta keep pressing. We gotta keep going after him. Because as we do, we'll begin to see the kingdom on earth. All the things that he desired for us will begin to just, man, they will pour out. And this world will see who he always meant for us to be. I really want to go back into this song. And as we sing this bridge, I just want to encourage you, all the walls of tradition, let's just break them down. Let's not get used to this is the box that church is defined by. This is the way things should be. No, let's let him define that. Let's let him be the one to show us who we should be. Let's not get stuck in this normal way of this is, we go through worship, then we go through the service. Let's not just get stuck. Let's just allow him to move. Let's allow him to do what he's gonna do. Because he wants more for you this morning. And man, the presence of God is so heavy today. I felt it from the second song. I was like, man, this is gonna be good. Because he's got things for you. Whether it be healing, whether it be setting you free from any kind of bondage, he's got things for you this morning. And sometimes all it takes is stepping out. I want to encourage you, if you've gotten comfortable in that seat, maybe take a step to the side, maybe move somewhere else, but start stepping out. It sounds silly, but the smallest steps, you'll see that they mean a lot. If we can't step out in church with the people who we're comfortable around, who we know share our faith, how are we going to step out in a world that's opposing us? It's those little steps that help you realize, man, I got a little more because I stepped outside my box, because I moved out a little bit, because I moved forward a little bit. When I was nervous, when I was scared, I didn't care. I kept my eyes on you and I moved forward. It's the same thing we do in life. When it comes against you, you keep your eyes on him. You move forward because he's gonna give you everything you need.
Last week and this week, I really feel that I just need to share a little something, especially after this bridge. And God does answer prayers, even when we don't feel like he's listening. Even when times are really, really hard. I mean, we've just gone through a whole year of this COVID. And in our particular case, God really answers our prayers. Last year, in January, my husband was let go from his job. And we were in Massachusetts. And just the month before, in December, I was out here visiting all of my family. My family's all here. And I thought, how am I going to get out to them? And so here in January, 1 month later, he loses his job and we have a big decision. What do we do now? Do we go out here or do we stay there? And we were torn. We were torn every day. It was an emotional roller coaster. We were praying and we were listening and we were fearful for a whole year. And we decided, okay, we'll put the house on the market. We'll sell the house. Well, COVID hit March 16th. Everything shut down. So we didn't sell the house. But you know what? God sent us a renter. God sent us somebody who had a fire, who lost everything, and we rented our house, totally furnished, and walked away. I took my truck, I took a 5x8 trailer, I packed it, and I said, I gotta couch surf with my kids. I've gotta come out here to Sahuarita, to where my daughter lives, and I've gotta stay with her for at least 3 months, maybe even my other daughter in Tucson. And I got to be with my grandson Parker, who I had missed for like a whole year. And now I get to be with him every single weekend. And it's hard. It's hard. But when you're on your knees and you're praying and you're surrendering daily, when you're surrendering daily, when you know that he will work all together for good, And whenever two or three come together in his name, we are the church, no matter where we are. It doesn't matter if we're in a building or not. So we surrendered, and we didn't know. We were crying. It was a daily thing. And all of a sudden, we came out here, doors started to open up. After his 99th application, my husband got a job with Davis-Monthan Air Force Base. And we got to spend time with Mom and Dad. We had Dad's 80th birthday. Mom is right here. God answers our prayers even when we don't know that he's listening, even when one day we're excited and one day we're devastated. So he gets his job and now he's working and things are working out. The rent is covering, the bills are covering, things are happening. And we just keep moving forward and we just keep believing and we just keep knowing and we just keep focused on him and he will show us the way. And I really feel that if we have something to say, we now have the platform and I can break down my traditional walls thanks to them, thanks to this platform. And we can put our faith over our fear and we can reach out and surrender. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, that things are working. Thank you, God, that my daughter shared this place with me. My daughter shared this place with my husband, who shared it with me, who shared it with everybody else. So we're all here. So Amanda who put up with us for months, Amanda had us in her home, put up with us for months, finds out she's pregnant. She's gonna have a little boy, Lucas. And she had some tough time. She's had some tough time. And we just keep surrendering it to God and we're taking it one day at a time. And we're keeping Amanda in prayer. We're keeping Amanda in prayer and we're surrendering and we're just putting forth our faith. And so if you have something to say, like I felt last week and this week I needed to share with you, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, God.
I just wanted to let you know that God loves you and he loves to hear you worship. And it doesn't matter if you scream or you sit there and just talk to him in silence. He wants you to know that he hears everything that you're saying. He knows exactly what you're doing. And he loves you so much that he is so excited every time you come before him. Every time you focus your eyes on him, he is saying, "That's my child. That's my child. And I love." So as everybody's been saying, is that we are such a heavenly, we're in a heavenly place. Stop looking at the negatives and start praising him. So he is so proud of you and he is smiling down at you. If you scream, if you just stay silent and just praise him in silence, it doesn't matter. As long as you focus your eyes on him. And he says, thank you, because it makes him smile. He's smiling at you right now. And he surrounded this place with angels and surrounded you with angels. And he knows how special you are. And he knows that you're individual and that you are going to do things differently. But it doesn't make it wrong. It's right. It's right for you because of where he has you.
Good morning, church. We have received so many good words. And one of the things that the Lord gave me this morning was, "See," and this is the New King James Version. "See, I have set the lamb before you. Go in and possess the lamb which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them and their descendants after them." You know what? We're the descendants. We are wherever we walk, God goes with us. He goes before us, beside us, behind us. That's a miracle in itself. We each have a testimony, and we have to share it. We have to share the love of Christ. We have a hurting world that needs to hear it. And it may be that you feed somebody, and then you can feed them the word, and you can feed them hope. And all of us have a place in this world to speak about the Lord, to speak about His love. Each one of us has received His gift, and that's to us individually. Yes, we do share Him corporately, but also remember, no matter where you are, wherever you set your foot, that's His land, and you claim it, you stand for it, you share the word, you give hope to others. And sometimes, guys, you'll only plant a seed, but that's okay, because God will send someone else to water it and send someone else to fertilize it and help it to grow. Or you may be the one that's going to be the catalyst that's going to create a new creature in Christ. We are all those creatures. And you know what? It doesn't matter how old you are, whether you're young or you're old, because even out of mouth of babes, we receive the word. But also, when you're older, you still have a way to touch people, whether it's in your yard, walking to the store, out walking, wherever. We've got to stop believing that we're limited by where we are. We are not. We can be anywhere, and we can be a voice for the Lord, and we can show people you are loved. And it doesn't matter what you've been through. You can share what you've been through, because God will bring you people that need to hear your testimony. And they need to know how God is a redeemer. Our redeemer lives. Our redeemer restores. You know, the enemy may be coming against us, but you know what? We have a God who is above and all anything that could come against us, because He will make it right. Too often we look at the circumstances, and one thing that I've learned is first forgive. I was just a victim of a burglary, and I had to, you know, I was devastated. I was heartbroken, but God showed me, forgive. And so you know what? I did in that moment. I'm still, you know, going through the circumstances, but you know what? Circumstances are nothing in front of my Lord. So now I don't look at circumstances. I look through the circumstances to the face of my God who restores, who redeems, and who heals. So please know that no matter what you're going through, He is with you, and He will watch over you, your comings and your goings, and He will love you through it all, and you will become a stronger person because of what you walk through. Thank you.
Good morning. You know, I'm putting a sermon together. It's above all else, guard your heart, for out of it flows the issues of life. You know, and just the first word says above all else. In other words, this is like 10 degrees higher. Okay, God says, you know, Rick, He goes, guard your heart, because out of it flows the issues of life. You know, I know when my kids were growing up, I wouldn't buy clothes for myself because I wanted to make sure they had clothes. I wanted to make sure they had shoes. And God says, that's how I want you to guard your heart, Rick. I want you to make sure that you guard your heart, because that's where everything flows out of here. But that's not what I want to talk about. As I was sitting here and going back to Rebecca, I believe God wants us to get us out of those traditions. In other words, we come to church and we do the same thing over and over. God is saying, it's it. He goes, if you want to move with God, then you have to move. It's up to us. Do you want to move with God? Then, you know, sometimes it's going to take us to get out of our seats and come up here when they're doing worship and get lost in His presence. Let God do what He wants to do with us. I mean, I'm in church all week. Yesterday, I was working, and I'm in God's presence, and I'm hearing this one sermon, and it really convicted me. He goes, do you believe that God saves? He goes, answer my question. And I'm in my truck, and I'm hearing, I go, yes. He goes, do you believe God heals? I go, yes. Do you believe in miracles? I go, yes. He goes, then why aren't you bringing people to the church? Then why aren't you going knocking on doors and bringing them here? Because God wants to move. He wants to do what He wants to do. But it's our job to bring them. It's our job to go door to door and say, God, you're going to do miracles today. We need to know that it's now. It's right now God wants to do it. I want to give you a short testimony that the Lord brought to me while I was over here. I've been throwing garbage already for about, 30 years, 40 years already, and I love doing it because I get into my truck, I put on my earphones, I put message after message, worship song after worship song. I'm driving, I'm crying, I'm praising God, I'm doing all this stuff. And I remember one time I went into this lady's house, her name was Mary, and she's a carryout customer. So you have to get off your garbage truck. You got to go all the way down into the back of her yard. I have to get her cans, take them, dump them in the truck, bring them back and put them there. When I first met Mary, I went to her backyard. It was raining and there was about this much water down there. And I'm going back there and she comes out to get there. I go, no. I go, ma'am, I'll do it. I go, that's my job. It's okay. No, I go, no, I'll do it. So I went in there. I got the cans. I dumped them. I brought them back. And then she said, my name is Mary. And I go, my name is Rick. And we met. She goes, hold on. She goes, I want to give you something. So she goes and writes me a check. And I was kind of embarrassed to see it at first. I just got the check. I put it in my pocket and I drove. And about maybe three blocks down, I go, oh, did you see how much it is? $500. I go, no way. I go back. I go, Mary, I think you made a mistake. I think you were going to put $5 and you put $500. She goes, Rick, I didn't make a mistake. She goes, I give my gardener $1,000 a year. I give my maid $1,000 a year. She goes, I can't this year, but she goes, next year I'll give you $1,000. And I go, wow, she blew me away. So at the next year, when you came around, she gave me $1,000. And then we became friends. And then she had a pool there in her house, and in the summer it's so hot. I go, I'm gonna jump in your pool one of these days. She goes, jump in there, don't just talk. So I took off my boots, I jumped in there, got back in my truck. I'd be dried off in no time. So what is so awesome about this story is this right here. When I came around again, she goes, Rick, I need to talk to you. Because every time I talk to her, I talk to her about the Lord. She goes, I need to talk to you. She goes, and again, do you have 5 minutes? I go, Barry, I eat my lunch here with you all the time. I came in the house, we sat down. She goes, Rick, if you still want to be my friend, she goes, don't tell me nothing about Jesus. And right away, dollar signs are hitting my mind. And then all of a sudden, I go, in my mind, I'm saying, you mean more to me than $1,000, Mary. I said, Mary, you know what? If I can't talk to you about Jesus, then I guess I can't be your friend. And she goes, well, just talk to me a little bit about Jesus. I said, okay. And what was so awesome, she got pretty sick and she received the Lord as a personal Savior. So I know she's home, which is pretty awesome. She's home and she left me $1,000 in her will. You know, and that's what happens when you step out. When you take that step of faith and just do it. You know, and sometimes the adversary will put things in our way where he doesn't, so he can stop the blessing of God, because that $1,000 could have stopped everything. If I would have said, you know what, I won't talk to you about God. But you know what, money doesn't matter. God has, he owns it all. But God bless you. That's a little testimony this morning.
The Lord is speaking. Come forth to you, my child. I am calling you out. I am doing something different. It is time. It is time to come under the shelter of my wings. I am your protection. I am your faith. I am your love. Come out, my children. Come out. Do not be bashful. Come out for me. I'm speaking to you now. I've been speaking to you. Have you felt me? Have you heard me? My sheep hear my voice. Come to me now. It is the time. Time is drawing near. It is time for you to act. Time for you to walk. Time for you to speak. Time for you to react to my voice. It is time, my children. There is no more time. Do not sit down and be weary. Run, and you will not faint. Come to me. I have chosen you. I have chosen you all. I have chosen you for a purpose. You know what it is. I've been speaking to my children. I'm trying to awaken you. just come. Come to my shelter. I will protect you. Come forth. All of you, there's a person right now in this audience. I've been telling you to come forth. Come forth now, my child. Come forth. It's time. Come forth.
I don't have a poem to share with you today. I have several, but I just couldn't pick one. But one thing I wanted to tell you is I've been going through a little bit of that depression since my son died, but it's gone. I choose joy. So the devil is not having his way.
Do you believe that his way is better? That his way is better than ours? We can't see the bigger picture, but he works all things together for good for those who love him and are called to his purposes. Continue to press on and press in, and you'll see the breakthrough that you've been waiting for.
Come on,
don't shrink back. Don't turn back to your old ways, but keep going forward.
Yeah.
Even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he is with you. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. His way is better.
Yes.
Scripture tells us that there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. His way doesn't lead to death. It leads to life, and life more abundantly.
Hey, if you believe his way is better, just give him a clap offering. Hallelujah. How many of you know that his ways are not our ways? His ways are higher than our ways, but he's called us to know his ways. Moses, the children of Israel saw his acts, but Moses knew his ways. There's a whole difference. Knowing what God has for you and what he's trying to do, ooh, hallelujah. Let him have his way. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'd like to keep the worship team behind me if I could. I'm just kidding. Hallelujah. They said, we're going to get tired on you. It's okay. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. You guys are awesome, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Ooh, some good word this morning. Amen. Feel like you've been in church? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God's doing some great things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I haven't seen you for 2 weeks. Well, I haven't been up here. I've seen you, but I haven't been up here for 2 weeks. So I'm a little excited about, I was all fired up about the word of God this morning. Hallelujah. the title of my message is Now on the First Day of the Week. What? Kind of a weird time. How many like the first day of the week? Which is what day? Huh? Monday? Anybody say Monday? Yeah. Somebody say Sunday. It's Monday. Sunday is the first day of the week. Amen. Hallelujah. I mean, we said that this morning, and somebody said Monday. Huh? And I say, hey, check a calendar, man. Sunday is the first day of the week. Amen. Hallelujah. How many of you get up early in the morning, man? Get say, hey, man, I got an agenda. Monday morning, I got to get up, got to get dressed, got to go to work, got to eat, whatever. So you jump up and you get ready and go and get your day going. How many of you say, yeah, yeah? How many enjoy doing that? I'm so glad I'm retired. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Kick back, lay back. Hallelujah. Oh, and. I would just want to talk about that resurrection morning. Father God got his son up. How many say amen? Come on, son. Time to get up. Amen? Hallelujah. And he's like, get up. Jesus gets up and got a little message for us today. How many of you know that Jesus had an agenda that day? He had something he had to do. How many say amen to that? Had places to go and people to see. Amen? How many always have places to go and people to see? Hallelujah. We all get into sometimes modes. We're just about in vacation mode. It's about time for vacation. Is that right? How many are going on vacation? Anybody going on vacation? Oh, yeah, some of you, we are, yeah. It's almost time. Hallelujah. But if you will, turn to your Bibles in John chapter 20. I'm going to start at verse 1. Glory to God. This is my first time behind this pulpit. Pretty cool. It's about time, huh? Amen. Pastor, I beat you here. Amen. Praise God. It's good. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we ask you, Lord, that as we read your word this morning and as we discuss and as we look at your word, Father, I pray, God, that you would open our hearts this morning and you would pour in that what you desire to pour. Father, pour in joy where joy is needed. Father, pour in strength where strength is needed. Father, pour in direction where direction is needed, God. Father, we thank you for that you, by your Spirit, can lead us and guide us into anything that we're asking from you, Father God. So, Father, as we read your word, Lord, just open our hearts and let us hear what you have for us today. If you agree, say amen. Amen. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Praise God, hallelujah. Starting at verse 1 on John chapter 20, it says, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, and while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Mary must have been, apparently she was an early riser, amen? It was still dark when she was on her way to the tomb. And she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out and the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down, looking in, saw the linen cloth lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen cloth lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not laying with the linen cloth, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. What are you believing? Well, he's not here. Amen? Empty tomb. Yeah, you're right. She says she's right. It's empty. Hallelujah. Then the other disciple, who came to the tomb first, went in also, and he saw and believed. For yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead, even though Jesus had told them quite a few times. He said that he would rise from the dead. They did not understand that scripture is what it says. They did not know it. So the disciples went away again to their homes. They said, yep, he's not here. So they went home. Huh? What? Is that crazy? That's kind of cool. But Mary, how many say ladies have a different outlook? Amen? Mostly, did you notice that? Mostly the mighty women said that. Yeah, they said, yeah, oh yeah, we got a different outlook. Yeah, hallelujah. So, but Mary stood outside by the womb weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. Now, that's funny. The guys didn't see this, did they? Do women have a different outlook? Come on. Yeah. All the guys are saying, so what? Yeah. Who cares? No. No, they do. Praise God. The guys didn't see it. And she saw the two angels, white, sitting one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. This is a very important scripture, okay? So just remember that, one at the head and one at the feet. Then they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Come on, I like that. How many say amen to that? Why are you weeping? The angels were asking her a question. Is that right? Can't you tell? He's not here. He is risen. Why are you weeping? Amen? Hallelujah. I think that's a question to us too. Why are you weeping? Why are you fretting? Why are you scared? Why are you whatever? Why are you other than what God has for you? Why? Amen? These angels asked him, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him. Now, when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Like I say, the ladies know, they have something different going on. I'm just kidding. Some of you got that. Anyway, Jesus said to her, "Woman," same thing, "why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to her, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. And Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and to your Father and to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. And the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be still. Peace be with you." Sorry. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, I want to stop with this, receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Receive the Holy Spirit. It was so important. I loved it because one of the last things Jesus was talking to his disciples before he passed away, before he died on the cross, was he was talking to them about the Holy Spirit. And now, after he's risen from the dead, he tells them this, receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? Isn't that good? Hallelujah. That same word is to every one of us. Amen? Receive him. Sometimes, I already received. I received him when I was 12 years old. Well, see, he comes every day of your life. Every day you open your eyes, he's got something for you. How many say that? So I would say, open the door and receive him. Amen? Allow him to speak into your life. Amen? You will be surprised at what he wants to talk to you about. Amen? Come on. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I love this. I love this part of scripture. I love this. This is probably, to me, some of the most joyous part. You know, the Bible says when Jesus went to the cross, that he, because of the joy that was set before him, how many know, say amen to that. Before, there was a joy that Jesus was walking in when he was on his way to the cross, even though he knew it was going to be hard. He knew everything. He knew he was going to be separated from his Father. It was going to break his heart. He knew it. But yet he said, the scriptures say, because of the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross because he knew there was a joy that was on the other side of the cross. Why are you weeping? Why are you crying? Why are you complaining? Hallelujah. There is joy in serving the Lord. How many say amen to that? Hallelujah. How many know that Jesus likes to talk to you? Do you know that? Do you know where he talks to you at? Where does he talk to you at? He'll talk to wherever you're at, wherever you let him talk to you. Amen. In the Old Testament, how do you know it was a little different? Do you know that do you know where Jesus, you know where the Lord actually told Moses, this is where I'll talk to you at? Where was that place? It was in the Holy of Holies. It was in a certain place. It was above what they called the mercy seat. He says, I will meet with you there. I'm going to take you there and let you look at this because I really believe you need to understand that God is desiring to talk to you every day, every day, every day. He's not, can I tell you, the more he talks to you, the more you hear him. The more you hear him, the more you begin to understand him. Is that right? He wants to speak to you. Hallelujah. He's got things for you that you've never understood. We were talking about this yesterday and by the way, we had a real good breakfast. Kaylin, who's not here right now, he made us a breakfast, man. We had sausage and eggs. Amen. Biscuits and gravy. There was sausage there. And eggs. Bacon. Hash browns. Anybody getting hungry? Come on. Oh, praise God. It was good. Did a good job. But God has a breakfast for you. Notice that Jesus tells Mary, he says, don't cling to me. Where do you want to go? He says, don't cling to me. He says, I am ascending to my Father and your Father. And then he says, to my God and to your God. Don't cling to me. Can I tell you that Jesus first thing says, hey man, I'm going to go see my father. He had just come out of the grave. Amen. He's just been resurrected. He said, I'm on my way to see my father. I think it was on his heart. He said, man, first one I want to see is my father. God, the Father of God, I did it. Isn't that right? Come on, man. Hallelujah. I paid for the sins of the world. Ooh, come on. Oh, he had business to take care of before he went to see his disciples. He wanted to see his father. He wanted to go where his father was. Amen. Hallelujah. But watch this. I want to go to take you to Exodus chapter 25. Let's go to there. Exodus 25. My daughter bought me this Bible. It's got big old letters. Praise God. Come on. Praise God. Hallelujah. Starting at verse 1, the Word of God says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly. Everybody say willingly. Willingly. Can I tell you something? We don't take the offerings. We don't drag a plate around. Amen. We don't drag a boot in front of you so you can tell us what. We don't do that. Because I believe that anybody that gives a gift, a tithe, whatever, it's got to be willingly. And so, hey, we put a box in the back there. I'm just another commercial for you here. We put a box back there. You want to give, you feel like you're going to give. Hey, there's a box there, man. It's there. You don't have to tell anybody. We had a little boy. I'm going to tell you this. I've told you this a bunch of times, but this little boy came from the back where they were going in Sunday school. And he comes running up. And he goes, Pastor. I go, yeah. He goes, you forgot to take the offering. I go, no, man. See that box back there? That's where it goes. He goes, oh, okay. And he runs back there, sticks his offering in there, and he turns around and he's standing there real proud, like, yeah, come on. The Word of God says we got to be like little kids, amen? We got to be like children. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, it's a joy to give. It really is. It really is. Hey, and if it's not done out of a willing heart, it's okay. We don't want your money. Amen? Come on. Isn't that weird? That's weird. Have you ever heard that from a pulpit? We don't want your money. Come on, man. Hallelujah. That's weird. He says, man, yeah, pastor preaches some weird stuff, man. Yeah, we don't want your money. No, hey. You got a willing heart? Praise God, because God is going to bless you. His word promises. He says, try me this day. Test me. See if I don't open the windows of heaven to you. Why? Because you've obeyed. Out of a heart that says, man, I'm willing to do it. I'm willing to give it, God. I remember Kenneth Copeland said one time, he says, when you're down to your last 20, give it away. Amen? That's cool. With a joyful heart, man. I praise anyway. Praise God. Yeah. He says, from everyone who gives willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Verse 3 says, and this is the offering which you shall take from them. Gold, amen. How many of them had gold? I don't know. But gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen, goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood. Oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for the sweet incense. Oink stones, stones to be set in the ephod of the breastplate. And verse 8 said this, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. God desires to dwell among his people. How many say amen to that? He loves to dwell among us. So much so that he sent his son to die on a cross so he can not only be our God out here, but he can also come in and dwell within you. He wants to be within you. Is that okay? This is God speaking to Moses, and he tells them, let them make me a sanctuary that I might dwell among them. He wants to dwell in. And then he says this, according to all that I show you, that is the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all its furnishings, just so shall you make it. Do you see just so there? Do you know what that means? That means make it just like that. What I show you, you make it just like that, just so. Don't change it, don't alter it, just make it how you saw it. You can see in Hebrews where he says, where God, where it says the writer of Hebrews tells them to make sure that you make it according to what you saw on the mountain when God showed it to you. So just so is a big word to Moses right here. Exactly what you saw, make it that way, Moses. And then he begins to talk to him. The first thing he begins to build is actually the Ark of the Covenant. It says this, and they shall make an ark of acacia wood. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, 1.5 cubits its width, 1.5 cubits its height. And you shall lay over it with pure gold. Inside and out you shall overlay it, and you shall make it on a molding of gold all around. You shall cast 4 rings of gold for it and put them in its 4 corners. 2 rings shall be on one side and 2 rings on the other side. Make a box, put these rings on the corners. And he said, so they can slide poles through it so that you can carry it. And he said, well, it's basically what he's saying. You shall make the poles of acacia wood and overlay them with gold. And you shall put poles into the ring. You shall put the poles into the rings of the side of the ark, that the ark may be carried by them. The poles shall be in the rings of the ark, and they shall not be taken from it. And then it says, and you shall put into the ark the testimony which I will give you. Make this box and put in it the testimony I'm going to give you. Basically what he said. You shall make a mercy seat of pure gold. 2.5 cubits shall be its length, and 1.5 cubits its width. And you shall make 2 cherubim of gold of hammered work. You shall make them at the 2 ends of the mercy seat. Make the cherub at one end, and the other cherub at the other end. You shall make the cherubim at the 2 ends of it, 1 piece with the mercy seat. Are you guys still with me? Okay, good. And the cherubim shall stretch out their wings above, covering the mercy seat with their wings, and their face shall, and they shall face one another, and the faces of the cherubim shall be toward the mercy seat. You shall put the mercy seat on the top of the ark, in the ark, and in the ark you shall put, this is the second time he said this, put the testimony that I will give you. And there, I love this right here, this is what, oh, and there I will meet with you, amen? And I will speak with you from above the mercy seat, from before, between the 2 cherubim, which are on the ark of the testimony, about everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. Oh, that's a good word, man. That I will, right there, I'm going to speak to you about what? Not just some things. Does it not say everything? Everything which I will give you in commandment to the children of Israel. Then he goes on to make more furniture. And I love this. I love the description that he makes of making this box. So what I'm going to do this morning, I'm just going to show you a little box this morning, and I've got to move something here. Praise God. And I'm going to need a couple of angels, because you got, some of you have seen this before, and I'm going to do it again just to make, just to, I mean, it just has to be seen so that we can see, because, oh, I love this. Here's my golden box that I made for. How you guys like that? It's nice, huh? And so, we're going to go, let's go, I'm sorry, let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. We're going to start at verse 1. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 9. And I know I can read it up front, but man, these words, these letters are nice, man. I can see. And there's no 9 in my Bible, yeah. Just read this part here to you. It says, indeed, starting at verse 1 in Hebrews chapter 9, indeed, that even the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which the lampstand, the table, the showbread, which is called the sanctuary, behind the second veil. Now, we're talking about behind that. We're talking about the Holy of Holies. Amen? It says, behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant overlaid with all on all sides with gold. Okay, so I'm just going to put this out there for you. I mean, don't make fun of my stuff. This is what I do when I've got nothing else to do. Yeah, whatever. Anybody want a vanilla wafer? No, okay, hallelujah. So here's the thing that God told him to build. And he said, build a box. And that box, he says, I want you to build a mercy seat. And this will be my mercy seat. Can you see through it? This will be the mercy seat. And then he said, and on the mercy seat, I want you to place two angels. So there was two golden angels on this mercy seat. They were actually one piece with the mercy seat, these two angels, is what the word of God says. Do you remember that? All right, so now I need two angels. Steve and Rick, can I get you guys up here? Come on, angels. Hallelujah. I called you guys because I know your arms don't get tired. You're a little shorter, so you can hold his arms up, okay? All right, so you need to come in close here. And here's the two angels. And the word of God says that their wings went up above the mercy seat. Isn't that cool? And they touched, so you guys can touch. All right, that's cool. And then the word of God says this. It says that they were facing one another like this. See how they're facing? But their eyes were facing this guy. They were the mercy seat. Is that okay? You guys got that? Is that cool? How's that look? Yeah. Somebody come and grab their wallets. Just kidding. Hallelujah. It says, the golden censer of the ark, the covenant overlay with all sides of the gold. It says, I'm going to start at verse 3, I'm sorry. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides of gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna. So I'm going to call this the manna. How do you guys say amen to that? Anybody want to taste the manna? It's called, what is it, right? Hallelujah. Wait, man, what does it taste like? It tastes like honey bread, I guess is what it said. It tastes like manna. It tastes like whatever it is. And so this is the best I could get the manna. And it's like I say, it's vanilla wafers. So what does the bread represent? And that's the golden pot of manna that was inside this tabernacle. You know what it meant? You know what it represented? It represented the food that God had. Remember, what happened to the manna? They got tired of eating manna, didn't they? They said, man, we got manna every day. Manna for breakfast, manna for lunch, manna for dinner. How many ways, God, can we cook manna? Not very many ways, but we know we're tired of it. So actually, they got so tired, they started asking for meat. Remember that? We want meat. We want meat. So God, what did God do? He rained doves on them. Remember that? They got doves all around. They went out. When they started picking it up and eating it, God got a little upset. What happened? As they were eating their meat, they got sick and they began to throw up. But anyway, the first thing they rejected was God's bread. Remember that? Scripture says here, it says, had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded. This is the best, this is the quickest thing I could come up with, Aaron's rod that budded. Do you guys remember what Aaron's rod budded was about? Do you guys remember that story? In this, they felt that anybody could lead the nation of Israel. Yeah, I know it looks kind of weird. It's a pine cone on a rose. And I stole one of Rosie's roses. And so I'll put it back there. What happened, they decided, hey, Moses, hey, we can get rid of our leader. I mean, he's just running us around here in the desert. We haven't gone anywhere. And, you know, so they were upset. And what they said, God, the pillar of God's, God came down in the pillar of a cloud at the tabernacle. And he told Moses, take a rod from all the leaders of Israel and place them in the tabernacle. And he said, and the one that buds and flowers will show who is the leader. So they all put them on in there. Aaron, you guys are getting tired. You can put them down. Sorry, man. You're not tired? Oh, nice. How nice. Don't they look good? Praise God. It was Aaron's rod that laying in that tent, it budded and it blossomed. Amen. And it showed who God said, this is who I have appointed to lead these people. It is Moses and Aaron. So the second thing that was in there, representing they had rejected God's leadership. Whoa, come on, man. Amen? Rejected God's leadership. And then in verse 4 says, and the tablets of the covenant. You guys remember that? Here's the tablets. I'm sorry, this don't pay no attention to the picture that's on it because it's the best I could find yesterday. But I'll tell you this. This was the Ten Commandments that God had given Moses. Do you remember that they rejected it? And Moses threw the tablets down because they had already sinned. Because when Moses came out of the off the mountain, they had already made a golden calf. Is that right? So here God says, here, man, put those inside, put the law inside the tabernacle. So here it is. You've got the law, you got the rejection of the law, you got the rejection of the leadership, and you got the rejection of God's provision sitting in this box. This is what God told them to put in the box. It's pretty cool. And he said, put that in the box, and once, come here, John, you're the priest. Once a year, one time a year, how many of you remember that? Once a year, a priest would go into the Holy of Holies. He had a bell on his boot or on a rope with bells so that if the bells quit ringing, they could drag him out because they knew that God didn't like him. Amen? I don't want to be a priest. That's kind of cute. Yeah. So, but what his job was to do, the priest would come yearly and he would place on this on this mercy seat, blood of bulls and goats. Is that right? Remember that? Blood of bulls and goats. Now see, these two angels had a purpose. Thank you, Pastor. These two angels had a purpose. That when there was no blood, when the blood began to wear thin, the angels would begin to declare no mercy. Go ahead and just say no mercy. No, say it like you mean it. Come on. Come on. Come on. They're weak angels. Yeah. No mercy. There you go. Come on. No mercy. But then they would, the priest would put that once a year, and what would they say?
Mercy.
There. Yeah, you got it. Come on. Say it like you mean it. Mercy. Mercy. How many like mercy? How many of you glad that God doesn't remember your sins? No mercy. No. How are you glad that he don't remember what you did? Aren't you glad? Aren't you? Come on, keep it up. Aren't you glad? Oh, you see.
Mercy.
Woo, come on.
Mercy.
Let's listen to this a little bit.
Mercy. Mercy. No mercy.
No mercy. No mercy. No mercy. No mercy. No mercy. No mercy. Mercy. Mercy.
Can I tell you, check this out. Isn't that cool? This is the purpose of the tabernacle.
Mercy.
Mm-hmm.
Mercy.
Okay, you guys. Mercy. All right, you guys can stop. You guys can stop. Pretty cool. Thank you. Thank them for the, praise God. Just so you know, the word of God says by two or three witnesses shall anything be established. Is that right? That's what the word of God teaches us that. So if God tells you to do something and you can't find it anywhere else in the word of God, what he told you to do, maybe you ought to check. Maybe that God, hey, if you said this to me, say it to me again. Tell me, show me, whatever. Because the Bible says by two or three witnesses shall everything be established. This was a demonstration of what those two angels were saying. These two were in agreement. When they'd see there was blood on that mercy seat, mercy. When the blood wore thin, no mercy. God is a merciful God. How many of you know that? God set this thing up for us, for them, but also for us to understand that he's very merciful. He loves his people. How many say amen to that? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. Well, what this is talking about, I like this part where Jesus said, hey, I have to go to my Father. Do you remember what he had to go for? Watch this. Hebrews 9, verses 11 and 12. says this in the Word of God. It says, but Christ came as high priest of all good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, obtaining eternal redemption for us. Where Jesus was heading, when Mary stopped him out there, he said, don't cling to me. I go to my Father. And he was heading to heaven, to the real place where the mercy seat was. Amen? So that he could pour his blood on that mercy seat. It's an eternal mercy seat. Ooh, hallelujah. When Jesus was laying in that tomb, I learned this from Steve. Steve told me this. When Jesus was laying in the tomb and Mary looked in, there was an angel on one end at the feet end, and there was an angel on the head end. Jesus had lain there. This was the mercy seat. Ooh, come on. I got excited, man. Steve, I got excited when he talked about that. Come on, man. Watch this. Jesus heads to heaven. I want to take you to Revelation chapter 5. This is what it says right here. Hallelujah. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside, on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll. Or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, hey, don't weep. Why weepest thou? Don't weep. Why are you crying? Behold, check this out. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain. Oh, it had been slain. Having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out into all the earth. And he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Can I tell you something? If anybody's going to reveal the word of God to you, it's Jesus. Nobody else can do that. How many say amen to that? Jesus is the revealer of his word. You know why? Because he is the word. No one else can do it. Hallelujah. That's why we teach you. That's why we say, stay in the word, stay in the word. Read his word. Look at it daily. Go after his word. Consume it. Eat his word. Drink his blood, which is the joy that comes out of reading his word. No one else can reveal to you the things about his word and you. No one else can do it but Jesus. He's the only one. Hallelujah. That's why you'll see these angels. It says, now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp, golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood. This is our song, folks. You were slain, you redeemed us to blood, out of every tribe, every tongue, and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. Ooh, hallelujah. Hebrews 12, chapter 10, verses 12 to 17. I want to read this to you. The word of God says here, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. From that time, waiting till his enemies were made his footstool. For by one offering, he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. I want you to look at verse 14. You say, I'm not perfect. How many of you said that to yourself? I am not perfect. Well, you're not. How many say? But see, the word of God teaches us in Galatians, it says this, It says that I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet it's not I that live, it's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I live by the Son of God. Amen? Amen. So you're not perfect, but guess what? You died. And now who lives in you is perfection. How many of you know that? Amen. Do you know that you're perfect? You better get used to that fact, because God is only, he only allows into his presence the perfection that he's commanded, which is Jesus Christ. And he dwells in you and you've died. Isn't that cool? Yeah. Woo, hallelujah. It's more than we can handle sometimes. Yeah, but God, but why do I do these things? See, the Holy Spirit has been sent for us to teach us the things, these things of God. How do you say amen? Amen. That's why the Holy Spirit's here. He's here to show you things and to bring you to understanding of what his word. How many know God's going to take care of you? How many know that? How many know that God's going to heal you? How many know that he's already healed you? How many know that he's already taken care of you? How many say amen to that? Oh, Kathy, I enjoyed your testimony this morning. I wept on the inside because I understand that God is faithful, faithful, faithful. That's who he is. Faithful. Hallelujah. Don't get your focus on things you shouldn't be focusing on. Can I say that to you this morning? Hallelujah. Somebody asked me, why don't you ever preach about the politics and stuff? It's not a place for politics. Because I believe what the Word of God says. It says that the kingdom of God rules over all. Is that right? Jesus told Pilate, you'd have nothing over me except it was first given you by my Father, which is in heaven. Remember, Pilate told him, I got the ability to kill you or set you free, Jesus. Why won't you talk to me? Jesus said, hey, you would have nothing unless it was first given to you from above. How many know that's a lesson? Everything we get comes from God. How many say amen to that? You might not get it. You might say, I don't believe that. That's a bunch of... I'll tell you what. It is God in him. The Word of God says, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. If God was to remove his spirit from the earth, can I just tell you? It'd dry up just like that, just that quick. So what are you weeping? Why are you weeping? Why are you complaining? Why are you doing things? Can I tell you something? I was watching a guy. I was driving home, and on the road to my house, there's a kind of a long hill. You guys, some of you guys remember that going there, kind of a long hill, and it kind of gets to a point, and it drops down, and then it goes on. There was an old guy that was riding a bike, had a real nice 10-speed. I don't know why he did that. Praise God. He had a real nice 10-speed, and he's going up that hill. And he's in the wrong gear. Because he's barely moving. I would say he's just about ready to start rolling backwards. But his feet are going like crazy. I felt like I was pulling over. I said, but sir, you're in the wrong gear. You got a nice 10-speed there. It looks almost brand new, but you're in the wrong gear. You got to get in the gear to get you up the hill. Can I tell you something? Don't let things going on around you bother you. Pray. Hey, get up in the morning. Go to God, pray for your country, pray for your leaders, pray for your sons and your daughters, and then pray in the Spirit. Hallelujah. But get yourself in gear. Don't allow the things that are going around you to make you weep or to make you complain. Because Jesus has risen from the dead, and he has washed all your sins away. Can I tell you that? Is it okay? You can believe that? Oh, yeah. What about the one I did this morning? I yelled at my wife. And she hit me, gave me a black eye, so I didn't come to church. How about that one? Yeah, even that one. It was paid for before the foundation of the earth. Do you know that? God saw it all, paid for it all. Doesn't give you a license to sin, amen? Oh, no, man. We are here to serve the living God in righteousness, amen? In peace, joy, hallelujah. Praise God. Watch this scripture, watch this. It says that, he says, for by one offering he has perfected forever those who are being sanctified. Verse 15 says, but the Holy Spirit also witnesses to us after he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts and in their minds. I will write them. Amen. Hallelujah. We're playing yesterday a song in because I just love the song, but it's called Talking to Jesus by Elevation, I guess, and Maverick City Music. But yeah, everybody's, I guess you all heard about him. But kept playing it over and over and over again. Because what was triggering in my heart was this place where God said, this is the place where I will talk to you. This is the place where the blood was spilled, where the Son of God poured out his blood. Can I tell you, he's done everything he needs to do to speak to you. He's done everything he needs to do to talk to you. He died for you so that you could have full access to the throne of God. Amen? The Word of God actually tells us to come boldly. You know, he doesn't say, come in, well, God, I kind of made a mistake and I sinned. Can I tell you, quit telling God you sinned. Is that okay? Is that all right? Think about what he's telling us. He says, when I washed away all your sins, what does that mean? He washed away your sins. So when you tell him you sinned, say, hey, God's going to say, what are you talking about? Don't you know my word? When you come to him, you've done something that you know is not right. You're already being convicted about it. He's the one doing the conviction. Is that right? It's the Holy Spirit talking to you and saying, man, that's not right. Let me help you to get out of that. Let me help you out of this. Let me show you what my word says so that the washing of water of the word can be happening in your spirit. Let me show you. And so, you know, and folks, I've heard people tell me, well, see, that you're giving people a license. I said, no, you're not. How many of you know that sin will destroy you? Do you know that? Are you confident in the fact that sin's not good for you? So believe God that he's washed your sins away and enter into the Holy of Holies and have a conversation with Jesus. Just talking with Jesus. Amen? Just go to him and speak to him and allow him to fill you with what he has for you. Is that cool? God loves you and he's going to take care of you. But to some of us, it almost feels like sometimes, well, maybe he's not hearing. Oh, no, he's hearing. He's hearing. Isn't that right, Kathy? He is hearing. He is listening to you. The Word of God says that he listens to the cries of his people. So as you go into the, as you enter into the throne room of God, talk to him. Let him know how you feel, and then allow him to speak to you because he desires to talk to you. Would you stand? Call the... Hallelujah. Jesus says, hey, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and what? I will give you rest. I will cause you to rest. Learn of me. Take my yoke upon you. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can I tell you this? God says, hey, man, you know what? If you're having a hard time serving me, come to me because it shouldn't be hard. Can I tell you, listen to this, listen. We are designed for righteousness. God's design for you is not that you sin. God's design is that you walk in righteousness. That's his design. He never intended man to sin. If he intended man to sin, if his intent was that we were just sinners, that would make him an unjust God, isn't that right? Because he would punish you for something he designed you for. But he didn't design you to sin. He designed you to walk in righteousness. How many of you like that? How many know that? So why are you crying? Why are you complaining? Why are you tearing people apart? Hallelujah. And I'm not looking at anybody in particular. That's why when I say things like that, I kind of let my eyes just kind of move quickly, because then everybody goes, he's talking to me. What am I doing? And no, you're not. I'm not talking to you. I'm saying this. You know what? Because you know what? There are things that we do and we know we shouldn't be doing it. But the glory of God is in you. And it needs to be released. And the way it's released is just by releasing your will and allowing him to replace that. Amen. Hallelujah. So let me pray for you and we're going to let you go. Father, I thank you this morning for your people, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you would touch their hearts this morning, Lord. Father God, show them how much you love them. Show them what you did, Father God, for them. Lord, the blood of the sacrifice, the blood of the covenant, Father God, is upon them. Lord, that they might know that you no longer look at them as sinners, but as the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, because that's what Jesus paid for by his own blood. So, Lord, thank you for that this morning. If there's anybody here that's never received Christ in your heart, say these words, Dear Lord Jesus. And church, pray with me. Dear Lord Jesus, forgive me. I see this morning that you paid for my sins. Lord, wash me, cleanse me. Thank you, Lord, for dying for me. I will live for you. For eternity. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, let us know. Let somebody know. Tell them, hey, I gave my heart to Jesus this morning. Because you know what? It's so important that you know who you are. You know that God has paid for you and that you have free access to his throne. How many say amen to that? Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Let's worship a little bit and then we'll release you. Amen. Praise God.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.